play. Look at this. Look at this.
What's happening, Josh? Welcome back. Surrender Birdies Podcast, Episode 4. I'm your host, Alex Dixon, here with Josh Hafken. Josh, what's happening?
What's up, man? I'm excited to rap with you. I feel like we've had some cool experiences over the past couple weeks, and I know you just got back from a cool trip, so.
Yeah, just got in last night, went down to West Palm Beach County, South Florida. Did a this was a trip with a family. It was a quick trip, kind of coincided with spring break, but I have a bunch of stuff to talk about related to it. I've done.
So give us the itinerary. Talk us. Give us the overview, and then talk us through.
Basically, I've done this trip to Palm Beach County a few times in the last several years. Ever since the Washington Nationals got my Nats hat on, I'm a big Nats fan. Ever since the Washington Nationals moved their spring training headquarters from the Orlando area down to Palm Beach County in 2017. So this was their eighth spring there. Spring training. I love spring training. I mean, I'm a big baseball guy, but I love spring training. Growing up, I had grandparents that lived over near Tampa, but my dad was a writer, still is, and cool. Wrote a ton about baseball. So when I was a kid, we would go down to spring training to visit my grandparents during our school spring break. And it would be kind of a work trip for my dad because he would do whatever project he was working on. If it was related to baseball, he did a lot of stuff about language and baseball, literally wrote a baseball dictionary. Cool. And we used to just travel around all the different spring training stadiums. And as a kid, it was heaven. Anyway, so a lot of this brought me back. I haven't done training much since I was a kid. But a few years ago, once the Nats moved down to Palm Beach County, a few buddies and I started doing kind of a Nats spring training golf trip and did it twice. The challenge always was there's not a ton of public golf in Palm Beach County. There's a ton of golf, but it's almost all exclusive, high-end private, a lot of exclusive stuff, a lot of courses that are hard to get on, especially as a group. I mean, some of the stuff you can get on, sending some emails and sure, through your network if you're just a single, but like when you go down with a crew, it's tough. I mean, Palm Beach County has some public courses, some better than the others. One stands out, Osprey Point. I think it's called Osprey Point, Osprey something. I got to double check that one. We played a few years ago. It was a really, really cool course, 27 holes, kind of not really near the water, but not far from Nats spring training. Anyway, this week went down with a family. I got an 8-year-old son who's now big into golf, just getting into it. And I really wanted to show him the Palm Beach par 3. Played it a couple times in the past. And it's like my favorite par 3 course, like on the planet. Right on the water, half the holes are kind of on the ocean side, half the holes are on the bay side. You got whatever that, I guess it's A1A, going right through the middle of the course. It's just an unbelievable setup. And the other big thing that opened there that I wanted to check out was the park at West Palm, which is
this,
they just had the most recent iteration of the match with Rory and Max Homa and Rose Yang and Lexi Thompson just a couple months ago. And that's got just a ton of press for being this big public-private partnership kind of municipal effort that was led by Seth Waugh, the head of the PGA of America. So that just opened up last year.
Did you guys
year,
play
so
under the lights?
We planned to. The challenge was we were only down there for a few days, and we got some weather, and So with family schedules, I was trying to balance the baseball schedule with golf and ball. So we ended up, we got to play the par 3 course at the park twice. I had a tee time to play myself at the park, but with the weather and things kind of shifting around, I had to cancel that. The place is really cool. I mean, the vibe there is definitely family friendly. It's interesting. I mean, they got this 9-hole par 3 course that kids can play for free, which is really cool. They got kind of a giant putting course, kind of Himalaya style putting course that my kid loved. They got a driving range with top tracer. So my kid was in heaven. We got to play the par 3, got to do the Himalayas, got to do the range. The course.
So what do you think makes it feel like more family? Like what makes it feel more family friendly?
Honestly, just though, I mean, they've got they also have kind of a whole, they've got two or I guess three different buildings. One building I think is kind of like a community, kind of a golf centric community center where the South Florida PGA has some offices in there. So I do think they do a lot of programming there. It just felt family friendly in the fact that they've got this kind of outdoor bar slash patio area. Cool. But since like the kid is, you know, kids are allowed to play literally for free in the par three, there was a lot of families there. I mean, that's what made it feel,
just the demographic. Yeah.
Right. On the other hand, the golf course, which has gotten so much press, I mean, it was renovated by Gil Hance. It's, you know, Golf Digest, I think, rated it second or third best public course to come out last year. Let me start by saying I didn't play it. I mean, I got the drone up a little bit, although it was a little windy. I saw a handful of holes. I didn't get to play the full course, but I mean, I've seen enough footage around it that I have a good idea of what the course looks like, and it's a fantastic golf course. It's also like $350 to play. And if you play on the weekends before, I think before noon on the weekends, so caddies required, which is another $120. If you're outside, they have some discounts if you're a Florida resident, and even more if you are, I think, a Palm Beach County or City of West Palm Beach resident. But like, if I wanted to play
for nine holes,
no that's for 18. But if I wanted to play as an out of towner, want to play an 18 round of 18, you know, it's. After tipping the caddy, I mean, you're probably around $450.
That's a lot. Yeah.
And then they also, so that's the one piece. And then the other piece is, so you walk up to it and they've got the two buildings. On the right is kind of the shop. And then they have the other community center, which is kind of further over to the right. But on the left is, they call it the house, I think it's called, which is kind of like food and beverage. But when you go in there, it is like, it's not white tablecloth, but it's like in that, I mean, it's like a high end Palm Beach kind of dinner joint.
Oh, wow.
It was kind of like a head scratcher. I was like, how does this fit in to kind of the narrative that they're kind of pushing around?
Like, you expect to walk in and see like burgers and dogs and a little bit more of that casual vibe.
This was like a nice restaurant. Like, which I'm sure it does well. And that's, I mean, the reality is that's the crowd in Palm Beach.
Sure. County. But it didn't match the vibe.
Didn't really match the vibe, and I'm not totally sure. Yeah, there's just a lot going on there. I mean, overall, the place is really cool. My kid loved the place. I had a blast with him. There's just kind of a lot going on there, but I'll save my full take, I guess, until maybe I get back and actually play the thing.
So. Dude, the pictures looked amazing. If you're not following Beltway Golfer, you got to go over and follow him on all the socials. But the drone photos were incredible. You know, I think that seeing that course from the sky is really interesting. It's hard to see, you know, a lot of some of that intricacy when you're on level ground and taking photos. I mean, any golf course is like that. But this one, I feel like, photographs really beautifully from the sky.
Yeah. I mean, if you search Instagram, I think even Golf Digest did a drone shot of all 18 holes. It is challenging because part of the course, I think, is right in the flight path of PBI, Palm Beach International.
So yeah, you got to be careful there.
Well, there's all kinds of restrictions. Like, there's certain, like, you can't fly, I think, higher than 60 meters, I think, is the height. Like, I had to do some extra authorization on my drone access even to get it up. And it was, like, crazy windy. There was, like, a rainstorm came right in. So I literally only had the drone up for, like, maybe 5 minutes.
Wow.
But it's cool down there. It's just, there's a lot of interesting dynamics down there because you've got Washington Nationals are right in Palm Beach. So, which is super cool as a DC baseball fan to go down there and kind of make a golf trip out of it. It's just kind of, it takes some creativity because there's not a lot of lodging, you know, hotels are expensive. A lot of the places to stay are kind of really high end. Airbnbs are kind of few and far between. There's a lot of like little bungalows that are like little, like one, two bedroom shacks that, you know, are kind of challenging if you've got like a big group. My family, we found, I think, maybe the cheapest Airbnb in Palm Beach County, that was right next to the airport, kind of in a, it wasn't in a dodgy neighborhood, but it was kind of tucked away. It was not in a high end neighborhood.
Not dodgy.
Yeah. But it was also so cheap. Like I must have double checked and reread the description and reread all of the previous reviews like 10 times because it was $100 a night for a 3-bedroom house. And in Palm Beach County, like that was like a third of what it was.
That. For us.
And there were some issues with the place that it was kind of hilarious. But all that
being beautiful
said,
area.
All that being said, I'm going down next March. Like I love the trip, and I'm still kind of figuring out the best way to do it. There is more and more places are opening. With a little bit of effort, you can get out on some of these private courses. But there's a course down there called Sandhill Cranes, which I didn't get to see, that just opened up their own par 3 course called The Nest that's opened up to the public. There's one really close to the Nats spring training headquarters called North Palm Beach Country Club, which the last time I went down on a guy's trip was closed for renovation. That's an old Nicklaus course that just got renovated and reopened after renovation a few years ago. So there's a lot of options, but we had a great time. I played a lot of mini golf. There's mini golf. There's some mini golf options. I got a 2-year-old and an 8-year-old. So and it was raining a lot. So I squeezed in a few rounds of par threes and a lot
what
of
was that pop play. Stroke? What was the
I went out of my way to pop stroke. So there's a couple locations of pop stroke, which is kind of I don't know if Tiger Woods is certainly
I think it's goal. Tigers. Yeah.
He's definitely involved. I just don't know how I don't remember how much involved he is. I know he's one of the primary investors. But there's one in Delray Beach, which is still in Palm Beach County, and then there's one up in Jupiter. And that's awesome, man. That place is hilarious. And
really?
I think it would do really well.
I feel
well.
Like that, like, bring, yeah, bring one of those up here, man.
I think it would certainly do. I'm sure somebody will try to at some point if they're not already working on it. It's just the terrain of the actual mini golf holes is kind of nothing like I'd ever seen before. The place is a scene. I mean, it's not a very big footprint. It looks like just like an old, Applebee's or something, and the parking lot is just 36 mini golf holes jammed in with a bar in the middle. There's TVs everywhere. There's mist sprayers everywhere. But like the terrain
sounds amazing.
Of these like massive embankments each hole's got, it's cool. And there's like areas for ping pong and cornhole and all that.
And there's like no upkeep. Like, it's once you build it, you might have to do some upkeep or replace the felt from time to time, but like, it's not like big intense upkeep, right?
I don't really know. I mean, I would think it's certainly less than, you consider
smart
the other
business.
You consider some of the other, when you really think mini golf and you think, the rotating windmill and you got to hit through the windmill and like the clown's mouth. And
that's like a gimmick,
But there's also a lot of mechanics. There's like moving parts and mechanical things that break down that probably do have a lot of upkeep where this, like, I agree. There's probably not a ton
of
upkeep.
Give me one of those immediately.
And they're definitely making money. I mean, we went on it was a Saturday. It was a nice Saturday. It was kind of the Saturday before Easter, so it was probably the first weekend for a lot of people doing with school spring break. The place was absolutely packed. Slow play was kind of an issue, but I think they don't sell you 18, like a round of mini golf. It's an all day pass. And so I think I was $35 and my kid was 40% off because he was under a certain age. And so I don't know, it was $59. He was maybe 24. So $60 for the two of us. And that didn't include any food or drink. Just to play mini golf, whereas, you go to one of those old school places and it's maybe $10 a person.
I mean, as we've explored the economics of some of these things and, we've rapped in the past about Sims and like all that, mini golf is to me a very smart investment, and if you can buy the land on which it's on, then you're crushing it. But yeah, give me one of those Tiger, please. Build one in DC. Like I would be really or Northern Virginia, Maryland, but that would be amazing.
Yeah. I think there'd be a market. I mean,
huge.
I think somebody could pull that off because there is also an element of, it definitely has a corporate feel, the pop stroke to it.
Sure.
Everything's kind of top of the line and it's not cheap. I feel like someone could do a mom and pop version and do it really well and kind of do this version of mini golf, this kind of modern version, and make it really cool. But
it's another part of making the game more accessible. And you know, the more comfortable that you are putting in weird situations, you know, the better. I think it's great. You know, I think people like look down on it, but you know, it's a good way to, you know, have fun, be competitive, introduce some kind of like fun competitive thing. You know, our whole family used to go out and play, and you know, I think that you know, a lot of sports an entire family can't do together. You know, like it's tough for like mom, dad, kids, blah blah blah. Like you're not all going out and like kicking the soccer ball or you know, playing basketball. Rarely, like, you know, there's one person who's sitting out, you know, of a lot of these activities. But mini golf is, you know, something that like grandma and grandpa could come and play and kids can do. And it's a fun social thing. And I think that the more you introduce those things to people, you give them opportunities to be social, you make golf fun, and then you can introduce them to other parts of the game. So, you know, again, people, build one of those investors in the DC area. Build one of those area.
To your point, that was kind of our day. The day that we played Pop Stroke, we went, my 8-year-old and I went and played one of the courses there. They kind of blew in a black. We played one course, then went home for like half an hour and then went to the Palm Beach par 3 and played over there.
Cool.
So it was kind of like a warm up. And by the time we got home and he rested up for a little bit, he was like super pumped to go play the Palm Beach par 3. And that's the Palm Beach par 3's got some longer holes, or it's 18 par threes, but there's one that's, and I was playing from the blacks, and my son was playing up. He was kind of playing a hybrid between the whites and the blues. We got paired up with these two Brazilian guys that were there. They were great. It was actually the perfect pairing for me and my son, because one of the guys had moved from Brazil, lived in Miami area, and started playing golf like 5 years ago. And the other guy had basically was a beginner. So his buddy would basically play whatever tee box that my son wanted to play from. He would just kind of okay, you want to do white or blue on this one? And it would kind of be amazing. And
it's great.
So it ended up being perfect. But at the Palm Beach par 3's got, it really has a good variety of distances, everything from like 80, 90 yards up to like 200 yards. And it's, man, I just love that place. I think it's got a lot of press over the last several years, and it's, I think for a long time it's been considered one of the best par 3 courses in the country. But I think that course alone makes, you know, you can just add on, especially with the park now open, the Palm Beach par 3. If you're a Nats fan and you want to do kind of a trip like that, there is enough public golf around to kind of make it work, or if you can get on a private course. But the Palm Beach par 3 coupled with like a Nats game right after is just like phenomenal day.
Dude, that's awesome. And like, so cool that you know, had these memories growing up and now you get to do it with your kid. Like that's pretty special. Like that's what it's all about, you know?
Absolutely. No, it was good. It was good trip. Good trip all around. Wish it was longer, but we had a great time.
always. We're going down. Actually, my wife's grandparents live in the Ibis that's down there. So we're going to go down and we'll play a little golf. It's over, you know, 30 minutes from the airport ish.
Okay.
But beautiful courses. And I always get to go down and play with his clubs, which is great. He's got the senior flex. Beautiful little community, incredible golf courses. Can't wait to go down, get a little reprieve from, you know, golf around here.
Yeah, I hear you. So since we recorded last, have you gotten out and played much?
Yeah, dude. Had a couple great experiences, played a ton. I went up and visited some buddies up in Philly. And on the way back, played a really cool course in Perryville, Maryland called Furnace Bay. I just played the front nine, but it was really, really cool. Asked a lot of interesting questions of you. Beautiful kind of like right by the water. You know, it was really just a stunning kind of like surprise course. I don't know if you ever heard of it, but highly recommend.
Yeah, no, I'm familiar. I've never played it, but definitely familiar with it. Just on the north side of Baltimore, right?
Yep. So if you're heading up that way, highly recommend. It's a beautiful, beautiful piece of land, beautiful home that the clubhouse is in. And I'm looking at the card right now, like that they hit you the first like 5-6 holes. Your first one is hard dog leg left, you know, so you can't see the flag. Your next one, hard dog leg right, can't see the flag. Then you've got a par three that you got to clear, you know, clear like a ravine. Next one, par four, uphill blind shot to like a little island, very hard. And then the fifth hole was essentially like a V. Like you shot out and then you shot like kind of back across. And so like each of the, like I'm sitting here like, you know, no warm up, you know, partied with my buddies in Philly the night before. And I come out to this course and it is asking me to be like on. And, you know, it took me a little time to get warmed up, but it was really, really cool. I would love to go and play it again. So highly recommend. And the people who worked there were like super nice. You know, anytime you go to like a course like that, I just kind of looked at the map and I was like, oh, what's in between Baltimore and Philly, and picked one. And, you know, sometimes you luck out and sometimes you don't. And this one we lucked out. So that was pretty cool. And it kind of like, you know, kind of, I want to tell a little story. I'd love your take on this. You know, I was playing by myself at first, and I've kind of done this a couple of times. I think as a newer player, you want to play sometimes by yourself and, you know, just focus on your own thing. But I've had a couple experiences recently where it hasn't been the healthiest thing for me to be by myself. I'm a little too in my head. And so like, you know, I've had this experience and I was at Furnace Bay, you know, I was playing by myself and all of a sudden I started rushing into some guys. Some guys were pushing me and it took me a couple holes to get into things. And I really resisted like going to like, you know, be like, hey, like, do you want to meet up and like play together, like play the rest of these, you know, holes, blah, blah, blah. But eventually I did it. And, you know, after I ended up playing so much better because it kind of like took me outside of my own brain. And like, I think that new players, and for me, like I've had that experience where you like, I've resisted wanting to play with somebody. And then I did, and I ended up playing so much better and having a great time. And I don't know if you've had that experience, but you know, it's a weird thing that I feel like sometimes you want the privacy, but you know, you got to just relax and sometimes somebody else there to bullshit with or, you know, whatever, they go off and miss a shot. It allows you to relax and then play better.
I would say, first of all, anytime you're playing with a single as a single, this is at least my experience. And no. There's an opportunity to join up with a group in front of you or behind that, you know, seems welcoming or even not. I would say always try to do so unless you're on a time crunch or you're just truly out there practicing.
Sure.
Because playing golf myself, I love playing golf by myself, but playing golf myself, like I'm not playing a real round of golf. It's practice. When there's no one out for a variety of different reasons. One, if you're not really posting a score if there's no witnesses. Two, it's just a totally different flow from like an actual round of golf where you're like caring about your score or just keeping score in general. Because you're by yourself. That being said, I love playing golf by myself, but it's practice. You know, I'll drop a second ball. I'll hit two. Maybe I'll say, okay, I'll play, you know, two different balls and see, pit myself against myself with two different balls kind of thing for a couple holes. But it's practice and it can be a great time to work through your thoughts and play a quick round of golf. But it's just, if you're actually playing a round of golf to play good golf or keep a score, then absolutely join up with the people in front of you or behind you every chance you get. And then on top of that, all the other reasons why that's a good thing for pace of play and to just meet new people.
Pace, definitely. Like if it's a pace thing, like you absolutely have to. But I think you're right. You know, I think that like for some reason, you know, I've been, you know, I think you just kind of like, you know, when you're newer, you make mistakes and you want to do that sometimes in private. But I think when I've, you know, been there and been like, all right, well, I'm going to link up with somebody. You're right. You kind of take it. It changes things. And for some reason, like, I ended up playing way better than I was playing on those first couple holes by myself, all in my own head. But yeah, man, like, I've had great experiences. I played Sligo Creek 3 times in the past, like, couple days. You know, it's like a couple minutes from my house. And another time I got grouped up with somebody, ended up being a great dude, ended up playing great. And I feel like that's, you know, sometimes you want to be antisocial, but it's a good thing to be out there and, you know, be forced to interact with people sometimes.
Yeah. I've one of my regular, guys in my foursome he's the oldest by a number of years in my regular foursome. And it's funny. Like when I'm playing with him, when there's just two of us, just me and him, for example, or when there's maybe three of us, and there's a single or a twosome, there's that opportunity to join. He's always the most reluctant to join. And is, you know, when I make the suggestion, hey, I'm going to offer if these guys want to join us or vice versa, he's always grumbles and doesn't want to do it. And yet once we do it, he makes quicker friends with the new guys than I do. And is the most talkative one. And every single time, I'm like, you always enjoy yourself when we play with other people. I don't know why you're so hesitant. I think it's just a mental thing. But more importantly than all that, it's pace of play, pace of play, pace of play. If there's a twosome, nothing drives me more crazy, and I think most golfers crazy, when you're on a course that's moving slow and it's twosome, threesome, twosome, single, yeah, twosome, threesome, twosome, not single. Okay. And it's like, just there's a reason that you want to play it as foursome. I mean, that little, you know, whatever twosome threesome thing I just said, you know, yeah, it could be three foursomes and everybody's done an hour earlier.
Dude, it gets it moving, man. Like, that's the whole point. And it was funny that, so we were at Furnace Bay. So I caught up with this dude at like maybe hole six and I was like, hey, do you want to play? And he was like, yeah, let's team up. And then a twosome came up behind me and they were the people pushing me. And we were like, hey, do you guys want to join up? And they were like, nah, we're good. And it was just like, it was the first time that I've had somebody just be like, nah, we're good. Like, I'm okay. Like, we'll wait. And I was like, ah, no worries.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny. There's plenty of policies on golf courses that I don't necessarily agree with. I think that should be mandatory. I think if things are moving fine, then okay, that's one thing. But I think golf courses should reserve the right, and I think they probably do for the most part. But I don't think they really institute it. But if a marshal comes around or if somebody at the turn says, "Listen, you guys are playing together to speed things up," I guess as I'm saying this out loud, I'm thinking of times where they've absolutely done that. So I think courses do this, but it shouldn't. I guess what I'm getting at is it shouldn't be an option. If you're less than a foursome, then golf courses and the golfers themselves need to make it a foursome at every opportunity to speed things along. So I haven't been up to Sligo Creek too much recently.
It's a joy. It's great, man. I love it. It's, you know, it's my first course. I think the people who play there are a general type of people who are very welcoming, you know, understanding, patient, kind. You know, I've enjoyed every single time I've gone and gotten paired up there, and course was pretty good. You know, they're doing stuff to it. They, you know, they're air raiding and doing all that stuff. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's just nice to get out there. And one of the days was that, it was Saturday. It kind of rained around the morning. And so then kind of cleared up around 12 noon. And, you know, I was sitting at home and wife's taking a nap, and, you know, I was just looking at tee times on my phone and I was like, wow, there's a tee time in the next 30 minutes at Sligo Creek that I can get. And probably no one will be out there because it rained. And I clicked it, got it. I was there in, you know, 10 minutes on the course in 20. And it was beautiful. It was really, it's such a joy just to get out there on a beautiful day.
Sligo Creek's great. Is I think you and I had that in common, but it was both of our first courses. I can't remember if it was my very first course. It was my first course I played in this area. There was a course in Maine that might have been first. But the sneaky play around these days at Sligo Creek, they've got this summer concert series that has really expanded over the last few years, which is basically Fridays between Memorial Day and Labor Day, at least. They may have even expanded the calendar a little bit. But it's every Friday. I think it's Friday.
It's Friday.
Summer Friday concert series. And it's right around sundown. But if you can time 9 holes, like whatever it is, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock on a Friday, which I did a couple years ago, where basically they set up the bands right on the first tee box, which I think this year they've even built like more of a platform, more of a stage for like dancing and stuff. Yep. But then the crowd sets up picnic blankets like in the first fairway, and it just turns into a great scene. But if you tee off, if you can time it to be one of the last people to tee off on a Friday afternoon, by the time you come around to hole 6, 7, 8, 9, the band's already started playing, and you're like playing the last 4 holes with music in the background. You finish up your 9. There's already a scene developing, like back on the first green. They've got beers flowing, you know, and it's turns into a phenomenal afternoon.
I couldn't agree more, man. I did it once last year, exactly as you said, you know, finish my round. My wife joined with a picnic basket and a blanket. We brought our puppy. You know, it was beautiful. It was highly, highly recommend checking it out. And, you know, I think you're right. I think that 3, 3, 4, you know, puts you perfectly in there, for a beautiful afternoon.
Sligo's got a long history, because Sligo used to be, I need to do some more research on this, but so Sligo used to be 18 holes before the Beltway was built. I believe it was the original Argyle Country Club, I think.
I believe you're right. I believe you're right.
Yeah, I've been talking about doing someone's been on my list for a full kind of Beltway golfer episode with a few different people. I've talked to some people over there just to kind of give Sligo its proper due, because it's also
oldest course in the county, oldest public course in the county.
And it's also, they've been fighting. I know there's a Save Sligo Creek initiative. That's really a part of the citizens against the expansion of the Beltway, because right there, if the Beltway to expand, would really dig into the golf course. And there was a few years ago, I think this is before the concert series started off, but they were talking about turning it into more of like a massive driving range and just getting rid of the golf course and making it like a driving range and some other alternative ways to make money, because the golf course itself wasn't making money at the time. I think it's doing, but Sligo survived. I mean, it's been
Save Sligo
many times. Yeah.
You know, we have to. It's incredible.
I'm also bitter. There's another thing about Sligo. A couple of years ago, I have a long history of Sligo. I played in a winter. What was it called? It was a winter league in Scramble, but this is in the mid 90s when I was in high school. And me and a couple of buddies would go up and play every Saturday morning. We'd play at Sligo in this like men's league. And we were like the youngest people in it by like 15 years. But it was, you know, donuts, coffee, and 9 holes at Sligo was great. But last year, the year before, they replaced all their tee markers and they did a little auction they had these old school kind of brown wooden tee markers. Some of them were better shape than others, but I really wanted one. they went for pretty cheap, and I think I put it. It wasn't like a traditional auction. It was literally just like send in how much you pay for them to like this email, and this woman would just kind of award whoever offered the most. And I sent an email out, and I think there was like a tie. Me and some other guy, I wanted the 9th hole. And she responded saying, "You guys tied. Would you offer any more?" And somehow I missed the email, and so I lost it. And I was a little bit bitter about it, but. I love Sligo is the point. Sligo is definitely, it feels like home when I go there. I love the little snack shop down on the bottom. It's a great spot.
Yep.
Anybody listening to this, very few people are even going to get this reference, but back in the, I guess it was the 90s, early 2000s, there was a show. Do you remember there was a show on E! Entertainment Television called Wild on E! Does that ever ring a bell to you whatsoever? I'm showing my age here. I'm trying to think of what I can compare it. It was a show. It was hosted by, at the time, was like this like celebrity smoke show, Brooke Burke. who was like this kind of supermodel slash celebrity host. And she would go around city to city and just kind of like do a half an hour show about the party scene in that city. Anyway, they did the one for DC was combined with Baltimore. It was a Baltimore DC episode, and it was kind of a crappy episode. But I can't believe we're like talking about this. But there's two funny things about that episode. One, this had to have come out in 2001, something like that. And I've searched for it for years for like a copy of the full episode for two reasons. One, at the time I was a bartender at Madam's Organ in Adams Morgan on 18th Street in DC.
Great venue.
23 years ago. And they actually came into film on my birthday. And there's a clip of me in the episode kind of making a fool of myself. And at the time I got long hair at the time. So that's one reason I've tried to find the clip up. But the second is Brooke Burke, when they would, you know, they show different bars and different, you know, parties and stuff like that. And they'd cut back to the host, Brooke Burke. And she'd like, you know, talk a little bit in between each clip. And I've always been convinced. I saw the episode live once or twice, that where she broadcasting from was the snack bar at Sligo Creek Golf Club. And yes. I've searched for this episode. You can find full episodes online, but for some reason I've only able.
Yeah, it's not on YouTube or something.
Like there's portions of it. There's like 5 or 10 minutes of it, but not the entire episode.
Not the Sligo Creek moment.
I can't find the moment where I'm on it or the Sligo Creek moment.
The most important parts.
Yeah. I don't even know what happened to E! Entertainment Television. But anyway, that was a bizarre aside, but it's another Sligo anecdote.
Yeah, I think a lot of people probably have great Sligo stories. I think it's, you know, it is a lot of people's firsts. It is, you know, it's a county favorite, and it's been around for forever. So, I mean, it makes sense. I would love to hear more Sligo stories. I would have loved to have played the full 18 too. That would have been awesome.
Yeah, that was before my time. I don't remember when that, because that was way before. I mean, what year was the Beltway built? Beltway was built in the 60s.
Yeah, long time.
Maybe before that. So it's been gone.
So should we promote one of our new partners?
Yeah, we've got Pinned Golf, PINNED Golf, sponsor of the show. They've got a variety of rangefinders in all sorts of different colors. Don't break the bank. And they've got on-course speakers. They've got some swag. And you go to pingolf.com and enter code Beltway for a discount, and you're supporting the podcast. So go check them out, pingolf.com.
Yeah, they got a lot of really cool colors. I was eyeing this Carolina blue one for my Tar Heels. And then I was also, you know, kind of, I know they're kind of famous for the rangefinders, but the speaker, I think, is a sleeper here too. It's a pretty good price. Again, cool colors and everything's magnetic. So it sticks to the cart, which I really appreciate as somebody who like loses shit constantly.
I will say though, the fact that it sticks to the cart, the fact that rangefinders stick to the cart with a magnetic piece does not stop me from losing them, because I've left them on the golf course.
Well, that's why you got to get a bright color. You can't get a black one. It'll blend in with the cart. You got to get like a neon or the Carolina blue if you're, you know, inclined. But yes, thank you to Pinned. Check them out. They got cool stuff. They're very nice people over there, and use our code Beltway to get you 15% off.
All right, well, let's leave it there, and appreciate it, Josh, and we'll talk to you soon.
It was a pleasure.